Thank you to the worship team. So those of you that has been joining us, we started with a new series last week titled Well Done, Good and Faithful Servant. And Mark spoke about integrity last week and how that connects to being a good servant. So this morning, before I start, I want to start with a story. So imagine a church. You can decide for yourself whether it is a big church or a small church. But in your mind, have this picture of what the perfect church will look like. In this church, there is an amazing worship team, an amazing preacher. And you know the best part? Everybody in the congregation even sings on key. And that's how perfect this church is. So everything is good. The volunteers are, you know, giving their best. The preacher is amazing. But there's this one guy in the church. He's not part of the worship team. He's not the preacher. He doesn't even lead a volunteer group. So let's give this guy a name. Let's call him Joe. Joe's job was to be the janitor of the church. So what he would do is he would come in 2 hours even before the worship team shows up. Those of you that did serve or is serving in a worship team, you know that they usually get here at 7. So Joe is even here before they arrive. And what he does is he cleans the floors, he polishes it, he prays over every single chair. He even makes sure that those chairs that are a bit uncomfortable, he even makes sure that there is a cushion on that chair for the person sitting there. But he's just the janitor. Nobody usually notices the janitor. So one day, before the service starts, there's this kid, and he has some juice in a cup. And you know what happens? As it happens with kids usually, he spills the juice. And maybe you might think, you know what? Joe went up to him. He got upset. He got angry. No, Joe didn't do that. He saw the spilled juice. He didn't complain. He took his mop and he said, you know what? Something's gonna get sticky today, but not if it's on my watch. He mopped it up, didn't say anything. And eventually when the people started entering the church, because the service was about to start, they entered and they saw this beautiful, perfect, polished church. They don't know about the juice. They don't know about the kid. They didn't even notice Joe. You know what's going to happen one day? Joe's going to get to Jesus. And Jesus is going to see him. Jesus won't say, well done, great singer. Well done, my great leader. No. Jesus will say, well done, my good and faithful servant, even if it's over spilled juice. So today, we will be focusing on faithfulness. And we're looking at the verse in Matthew 25, 21. It says, the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. So let's think about faithfulness. If I asked you the question today to describe faithfulness, how would you explain it to me? What does faithfulness mean to you in your mind? What I could get is that it's a quality of being steadfast, loyal, and reliable. Being faithful means to be faithful in committing my duties. The commitments that I made, I commit to them, and I actually follow through. It means that I am also consistent in my character and in my actions. Everything I do, the way I act, is consistent. It's not jumping up and down. It's not ever changing. Hear this. consistency in character, even in those hard and difficult moments where people don't see you. Integrity, the things you do when no one looks. So my whole idea around faithfulness is based on the parable of the talents. And a lot of us know this story. Some of us look at it in the matter of amount. But today, I want to talk about it in light of talents. So those of you that know the story, usually, if you have a master, you have some servants. That's how it used to work in ancient times. So this story is about his master and what he entrusts to his servants. So this master was planning on leaving on a long journey, but he decides to leave something to his servants before he returns. So there were three servants. I don't have fancy names for them. If you want to name them, you are more than welcome to. For me, it's just servant one, two, and three. Very basic, okay? Servant one, he gave 5 talents. To servant two, he gave 2 talents. And to the last servant, he gave him 1 talent. And he left him. He went on his journey. And the servants, one and two, decided, you know what? I'm going to take this, I'm going to invest it, and then I'll see what I'll get back. So, servants one and two, who have 5 and 2 talents, they go and they invest their talents. You know what happens? It multiplies. It doubles. Servant three got afraid. You know what he did? He ran. And he hid his talent. Didn't invest it, just buried it. Out of sight, out of mind, right? So eventually, the master comes back. And the three servants are lined up, and they're showing him what they got. Servant one, who had 5, now has 10. Servant two, who had 2, now has 4. And servant three, he only still have 1. So the master sees this, and he is overjoyed at servant one and two. He is so happy with them that he tells them, come and share in my joy. I will give you something greater. I will give you more responsibility. I will broaden your territory. But to the last servant, the servant that didn't invest, the master rebuked him, took away his talent, and cast him out. What does this have to do with faithfulness? You see, this parable tells us what we should do, but also warns us about what we shouldn't do. And each of us sitting here this morning, you do have something in your hand. Whether you have 5 talents, 2 talents, or even 1 talent. Faithfulness isn't about how much you have. Faithfulness is about how you use what you have. And that's what God expects of us. He gave each and every one of us sitting here something that we're either good with, even if you're a good listener or maybe good with your hands. That's something God has given you. So while I'm working through faithfulness, I want you to have this idea or this question in the back of your mind asking, what is in my hand? What is the thing that God has entrusted me to be faithful with? So I'm going to look at 3 main points when it comes to faithfulness. I'm going to look at the heart we should have. So how does a heart of faithfulness look like? How do we practically live out a life of faithfulness? And then what will the reward be at the end of the day? So first up, having a heart of faithfulness means to understand that faithfulness starts small. Luke 16, verse 10 says, if you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibility. What is your little thing? If you are faithful in the little things, What is your little thing that you need to be faithful for? Faithful with? Is it your job? Is it your family? Maybe in the relationship with your kids? What is your little thing? If we quickly think about the life of David, he doesn't just step up, enters the battlefield, and slay Goliath with his 5 stones. That's not the beginning of David's story. It might be the story that most of us remember of David. It's the one that's taught in children's church, right? But that's not the beginning of David's story. He doesn't just enter the battlefield and his story begins. No, his story begins way back when he was doing the ordinary, unseen, normal thing. You know what that was? Tending to sheep. He was a shepherd's boy. That was his little thing that he started with. But that little thing was the thing to prepare him for the palace. Because the palace was his reward of his faithfulness where he started. And just like David, you don't have to wait for this big calling. God doesn't have to tell you, you know what, go get up and slay some giants. This is your big calling that I've called you. You don't have to wait for that before you start walking in faithfulness, before you start acting. Start where you are. If you are in school, start there. Maybe at your work, maybe in your family, maybe in your neighborhood. Start where God has placed you. The second thing that helps us to have a heart of faithfulness is that we should remember that it requires trust. If we look at the parable again, we see that the unfaithful servant didn't fail because he was ungifted. He failed because he was afraid. And sometimes that's the thing that holds us back. Just like the unfaithful servant, we're motivated by fear, not by trust. And fear is the thing that stands in place between me and God. Because fear makes me hide what God has given me. Many of you might be facing that, might be thinking that. Why? Because we have fear of failure. What if I don't make it? What if I risk it all and I lose everything? I can't do that. I can't fail. Some of us have fear of rejection. But what will that person think? If I do that, no, people will think I'm weird or super Christian. Or maybe this person might not believe the same thing as me, so I'd rather just keep my mouth shut. And we use fear as the excuse for our inaction. We keep standing in the place of fear. And that keeps us from stepping up and stepping out to what God has called us to do. But we can't continue to allow fear to be our camp. We need to start to have a heart of trust towards God. Trust that everything that I give, all that I am, He will multiply and He will bless it. Not just this part of my heart that's all healed up and has no wounds. Net hierdie kamertjie. Just going to give that to God. Maybe, you know what, the end of my salary, after everything that I've spent is spent and everything is done and the deposits and the debit orders are done, the thing that's left, that's the thing that I'll give to God. I'll trust you with that. Because that's sometimes our motivation. That's the way that we live. And if you can remember last week, Mark used the following story, and I'd like to remind you of it, is if you are on the verge of not making it this month, you have nothing. You only have this little, the money that's in your hand. It's either there for your last milk or bread money. Other than that, you have nothing. And what happens? God asks you, you know what, Yunalda, use that to bless someone. And if I'm the one that choose to close my hands, but now I'm standing here and I'm like, I'm waiting for you to provide for me, Lord. Why aren't you providing? Do you think you can provide? No. Why? Because my hands are closed. What happens then? If I see him not providing, I can't trust him. It doesn't allow me to trust God with what I have. But if I choose to open my hand and say, you know what, God, this is the last of everything I've got. I don't think I'm going to make it. But because you say so, I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust that you will provide. I'll sow this. You know what he does? He provides for you. And that then makes it easier for you to trust him because he came through. But sometimes we're the ones standing with our fists closed, waiting for God to provide. But at the end of the day, we're not trusting him. Trust means everything, all of me. Not just this part, not just this piece, everything I have, my time, my efforts, everything. To lay that down before God and say, you know what, I trust you. A heart of faithfulness also ensures us that it will lead to joy. We look at this verse again, it's just in a different translation. It says, his owner said to him, you have done well. You are a good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will put many things in your care. Look at this. Come and share my joy. We see that the master, when he returns, he doesn't just reward them with great responsibility. He invites them to share in the joy, in the happiness, in the celebration of their faithfulness. And yes, we will receive a greater reward one day when we are in eternity. We do have a heavenly reward waiting for us. We do have that joy waiting for us. But the joy that I'm speaking about here is not only just in heaven. It's the joy that you can have while being here on earth. It's the joy of knowing that you're walking in God's purposes for your life. It's having the joy of knowing that you're actually pleasing him. Your life is pleasing to him and it's glorifying him. And that joy will motivate you to just continue to be a good and faithful servant. So show up consistently. Obey without visible results. Because joy will always follow faithful steps. Secondly, how can we live faithfully? And I'm pretty sure most of you might come up with an idea, might have a solution to this. But first up, I want to speak about you being faithful in your responsibility. Let's take this for example, a mother that wakes up early in the morning before anybody else. She's the only one awake. But what she does is she goes into her children's rooms and she prays over them. Before they wake up, before their day starts, she consistently goes in and she prays over them. Does her husband see it? No. Her children? No. Who sees it? God sees it. Or maybe a man in a very difficult situation at work. He actually chooses honesty instead of using a lie to get the easy way out. He knows it. God knows it. And that's what God sees. That is showing up and being faithful in our responsibilities. Some other ways that we can do that is to show up where we said we'd be. If I said, you know what, I'm going to be here at 7 o'clock this morning. I need to make sure that I'm here 7 o'clock this morning. Not 5 minutes past, not 15 minutes past. To show up where I'd said I'd be. To follow through on the things that's not that exciting. Because life is not all exciting. Sometimes it's boring, right? Most of life is boring. It's unexciting. But we need to show up and follow through even on the things that's not that exciting. It also means that I should work hard with integrity. I should be reliable. Colossians 3 verse 23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working unto the Lord. How can we be faithful in our relationships? Be a kind, loyal, and trusting person. Be a kind, loyal, and trusting person. Be someone that people can actually trust. Be reliable. Whether it is in your marriage, in the lives of your children, be a reliable person. That might look like staying committed in a marriage when you are going through a dry and tough season, when there is stress from work, stress from life, you don't feel up to it, your emotions are low. Stay committed to the person you said you love. The next one is a bit more difficult for some of us. It looks like forgiving the person, even if we have every single right to stay angry at them. Choosing to forgive that person, even if you have every right to be angry at them. Being faithful in the things that are unseen. The things that's usually unseen are the things that people don't see you doing. That's why it's unseen. Might be your prayer life or your quiet time. Those things that you are doing in your room with the door closed, away from everyone, where it's just you and God. Those are the things that's unseen. Be faithful even in that. And then we look at the reward of faithfulness, because we can know that if we live a faithful life, if you're a reliable person, we're loyal and we're steadfast, God will reward us, because that is who He is. So even the things that you can think about, the ones that nobody thanks you for, those things that you do, never get a thank you. Your quiet sacrifices, the things you choose to sacrifice that nobody knows about, the prayers you pray in secret, the obedience that nobody applauds, those things, God will reward you for them. Because if you lived faithfully and you've trusted God with the little thing that He has placed in your hand, you will, at the end of the day, hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Things that you won't hear: "Well done, my famous servant." "Well done, my successful servant." "Well done, my impressive servant." That's not the things that you're going to hear. God will tell you, "Well done, my good and faithful." Are you good and faithful where you are right now? And you know what usually happens is we usually mistake faithfulness with performance. We think if we are the people that are the loudest and the proudest and the best at everything that we do, that means that we're faithful. Let me use this example. If you are in a corporate setting, you have two people that work for you, colleague one and colleague two, and you are the boss. Colleague one is the person that shows up when he needs to show up, leaves when he needs to leave, but he's like on every single client. He knows everything about their case. He knows everything that needs to get done. He does that. But he does it loud and proud. He's always the first one to get the things done, always the first one to put up his hand, because that's what he wants to do. Then you have colleague two. He's the more quiet, introverted one. Doesn't like being the center of attention. He usually gets to work 1 hour before work starts. He usually leaves 1 hour after everybody's left. His performance in a sense, is not as great as colleague one. But his commitment is far much greater than colleague one. Who would you think would be the faithful one? Because sometimes we're stuck in our minds in performance mode. If I do this and I do that, and I read my Bible, come to church every Sunday, and I'm part of this prayer group, then great, then I am a great servant. But if you're asked to serve coffee, or volunteer at church. Oh no, I can't do that. I'm already part of everything else. I just can't do that. Do you think that you're faithful? Do you think that you might be performing? Don't try to be the impressive servant, because that's not what you're going to hear one day. Be the faithful. Don't chase influence. It's another big thing. Don't chase the influence. Chase obedience. Why do I say that? Let's take this for example. I want to go on an outreach. Great. Get to the outreach. Start praying for people. Maybe have a word or two for people. Now I get back. Now people ask me, how was the outreach? Oh, you know, it was so amazing because I decided that I want to go on the outreach. And you know what I did? I led 15 people to Jesus. It's awesome. I actually gave word to this person and I prayed for this person and what's the pattern? I. Who's the center? Me. And then I can't call it obedience. Can't say, yes, I was obedient because I did this. No. Obedience comes from the gentle whisper. That gentle whisper is the Holy Spirit. Because he's not overbearing and loud and proud and shows you everything that he has done. No. It's not self-centered. Obedience is submission and humility. Listening to Jesus, listening to the Holy Spirit when he calls you to do something. Don't chase the influence, chase the obedience. And don't despise your small thing. Don't despise the little thing that God has placed in your hand. The thing that he is asking you to start being faithful with, don't despise that. Because he can use that to exalt you, to promote you whenever the time is right. Don't despise your small thing. So this morning, what is the one thing that God is asking you to be faithful with? What is that one thing that you had in the back of your mind since the beginning of the service? What is the thing that God is pushing and pressing on your heart? Start this. Dream about this. I want you to chase this. What is that thing that he is calling you to do? And then will you start from today? Will you start to walk in the thing that he has called you? Don't focus on the five things or the two things that he has called you. Focus on the one thing. The thing that he wants you to do right now. I'd like you to just close your eyes there where you are. If you are faithful where you are in the responsibility that you have, with the people that God has given you, he will one day say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Lord, thank you that we can just be here together this morning. Father, and as you have been speaking to us since the beginning, Lord, that one thing, the one thing, the small thing we need to take up and start being faithful in, Father, I pray that you would show us how to be faithful in the small thing. Lord, will you give us strategy, will you give us dreams on this one thing and how to start it, so that one day when the bigger reward comes, when the greater responsibility comes, Father, that we will be ready to receive it. Lord, I pray that we will continue to stay humble, that we will continue to be your servants, sitting at your feet, hearing what you want to tell us, hearing your dreams and your plans for our lives. Lord, will you help us to not only be faithful in this, Lord, but also to be steadfast when the hard times come, when things get difficult, when the pressure comes. Father, will you help us to stay steadfast? And above all, Lord, may we have joy in all things. May we live in the joy of pleasing you and of our lives glorifying you. Will you teach us to obey you and honor you until the day that we see your face and we hear the well done? Pray this all in Jesus' name.